This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and for our first story of the day, so the Malaysian Institute for Road Safety Research, or MIROS, has said that compliance in wearing seatbelts remain low among road users, resulting in serious injury and death among drivers and their passengers.
Its chairman, Tan Sri Lee Lam Thai, said this could be avoided by emphasising the importance of wearing seatbelts, increasing public awareness on the matter, and intensifying enforcement. He says that at the moment, the rate of compliance in wearing seatbelts among drivers is 90% and 70% for front passengers. As for rear passengers, it is very low, with only 5% having buckled their seatbelt. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety in the States conducted a survey on the use of seatbelts in a back seat. Here were some of the findings.
Full-time belt use is lower in the rear seat, and that's especially true for people who primarily get around by taxi or ride-hailing service. Less than 60% of people who said they frequently take taxis or use ride-hailing services said they always wear their belt. People who reported buckling up less often were asked for their reasons. A quarter of respondents said they believe the rear seat is safer, so using a belt there is unnecessary. If you're not belted in the rear, you're putting yourself at risk, and you're also putting other people in the vehicle at risk. People belted in the front seat can be injured or killed by unbelted occupants in the rear flying forward in a crash. Stronger laws would help, but technology could also boost belt use. Studies show that persistent belt reminders are effective at getting front seat occupants to buckle up. These systems are common for the front seat of new vehicles, but few vehicles sold in the U.S. have belt reminder systems for the rear seat.
So he went on to say that the rate of mortalities and injuries from road accidents could be reduced if that focus on wearing seatbelts was given priority. He said one of the most important aspects before travelling is to ensure that every passenger had buckled their seatbelts and appropriate car seats are provided for infants and young children. And I suppose this is really a huge question for all of us. I mean, seatbelts have been increasingly enforced over the years, particularly in the back seats. But how many of us are actually sticking to it? I don't know. When you ride in a car, for example, do you buckle your seatbelt and if you're in the back seat?
I do, and my friends call me a nerd for it. But I think it's, to me right now, it feels like the most natural thing. But I think it takes getting used to, because some people do still weirdly feel that the seatbelts for some reason constrict your body and they feel very uncomfortable.
I think it's about getting used to it as much as anything else. If you're accustomed to, you know, kind of riding around without a seatbelt, then that is your norm, but it shouldn't be. I mean, let us know what you think. Do you comply with the safety belt regulations? Do you check to see that everybody in the car has fastened their seatbelt before you get going? Or is it something that you might be a little bit lax about? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Just a short story. I know someone that prefers not wearing their seatbelts because she feels that whenever she wears seatbelts, she gets into car accidents.
Yeah, see, I suppose that's the kind of thinking that we really need to try to move away from, because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy as much as anything else. If you don't like using seatbelts, then that's what you're going to be saying. But regardless, let us know, are you good about fastening your seatbelt? And more than that, are you good about ensuring that the people that you're riding with have done the same? Because it goes a long way towards preventing mortality, towards preventing injuries. That number to WhatsApp, again, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Moving on to our next story, Time Magazine has chosen their Person of the Year, and this year they've named a group of journalists who have been targeted in various ways for their work.
That's right. They've named the group The Guardians. The named journalists are highlighted in a series of four black and white covers in what the magazine calls the War on Truth. They include, of course, Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington Post journalist who was killed at the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul back in October. This is the first time that a person of the year is a deceased person. Another cover features two Reuters journalists, Walon and Kwa So-woo, who were arrested a year ago in Myanmar. They were working on stories about the killings of Rohingya Muslims, and they are still being imprisoned at the moment. Their wives were photographed for the cover.
So the other Guardians included the journalists at the Capital Gazette, the newspaper in Annapolis, Maryland, where five employees were murdered murdered by a gunman back in June, as well as Maria Ressa, who's the chief executive of the Philippine news website Rappler. She was indicted last month on tax evasion charges, but free speech and civil liberties advocates have said that Ressa's case is part of a wider crackdown on dissent by the administration of the President Rodrigo Duterte.
Time editor Ed Felsenthal commented that it became clear that the manipulation and abuse of truth is really the common thread in so many of this year's major stories. We've got an audio here that's a part of Maria Ressa's speech back in June, while she accepted the Golden Pen of Freedom Award by the World Association of Newspapers and News Publishers.
What I'm going through now has forced me to really figure out how far will you go. When you're forced to fight to defend who you are, every battle you win or lose, every compromise you choose to make or to walk away from, all of these things, these struggles, define the values that make you ultimately who you are. So it doesn't matter what you think you were. Each moment tests who you are today. We at Rappler decided that a decade from now, we don't want to look back. We want to know that when we look back, we did everything we could at this moment in time. We did not duck. We did not hide. For the past 2 years, we've been fighting impunity on two fronts. Our government, which is fundamentally changing our constitution and our way of life, starting with a brutal drug war, and Facebook. We know its best and its worst. It enabled Rappler's fast growth and also later became the battleground for online state-sponsored hate that silenced voices that questioned. And in David's words, it allowed manufactured accounts to occupy the public space.
That was Maria Ressa, chief executive of the Philippine news website Rappler, and she was one of the group, The Guardians, who have been named Times Person of the Year. It is worth saying that the runner-up for the Person of the Year was actually US President Donald Trump. It's no surprise, of course, because this title is actually meant to recognize a person or group of people who most influenced the news and the world over the past year, for better or for worse. Number three, somewhat ironically, is Special Counsel Robert Mueller, who was chosen in recognition of his investigation into any Russian interference back in the 2016 US elections and, of course, ongoing. So we've been asking you for your thoughts and your experiences, really, when it comes to seatbelts. Raj saying, right, hailing should enforce this, which is a good point. We were talking earlier more about personal cars, right, and you actually driving or driving with a passenger that you know. But it is worth noting that increasingly as people move towards ride hailing, that's going to be a big problem too.
It's a mix for me. I've been in Grabs or Ubers that in the past had told me to wear my seatbelt when I'm sitting in the back seat. So, but other times also they haven't quite said anything. I think maybe they were just worried I would leave a bad review.
Yeah, exactly. And if it becomes part of the norm, again, all of this is about the norm, right? Once you get used to it, then those fears hopefully will go away. CT says, I'm a surgeon and I've seen the effects of not buckling up. I buckle up and I make sure everyone does so too. I also drive most of the time, so when I ride at the back, the body feels funny without that seatbelt buckle. So talk to us. Let us know what you think. Are you good about using your seatbelt? B, do you actually ensure that everyone else in the car is doing the same? Because that's also so crucial. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with our next story right after this. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. It is 5:16 in the evening and we're continuing our look at some of our favourite headlines of the day. Our next story is about the way ideas spread on the internet, namely through memes. Trap money, penny. This shit got me in my feelings. Gotta be real with it. Yeah. Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. So you may have seen a lot of people dancing along to that particular song. It was part of the In My Feelings challenges that were taking place earlier this year, all based on Drake's song. And we wanted to play that, well, just because we wanted to, but also because we wanted to talk about this. You know, memes have become kind of a de facto way of communicating online. And our next story is all about a Facebook group based on this exact thing, and it's having unexpected success.
The page is called Subtle Asian Traits, and it was created by a crew of Melbourne students who had bonded over weekends in Chinese language school and are using the page as an outlet for the struggles and joys of being a first-generation immigrant. So the concept is quite simple. Share jokes about the traits, subtle or otherwise, that characterize the Asian Australian experience, from cultural clashes with parents and the sanctity of bubble milk tea to the grown worthy pickup lines for white men on dating apps. You know, the likes of, are you from Asia? Because I'm trying to get your number.
Ugh. And as memes and jokes float, the follower count soared, and it's edging closer now to 1 million followers, spawning spin-offs and catapulting the conversation to the United States, Canada, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, Hong Kong and the Netherlands. So powered by global immigration, as you can tell from those countries, and as well as the borderless procrastination magnet of social media, the Facebook group has become a gathering place for laughs and reflection on the complicated experiences that first-generation Asian immigrants who have grown up experience.
These memes are witty, visual and catered to the audience, have powered the group's explosive growth by allowing self-reflection. A lecturer in digital cultures at the University of Sydney, Dr. Justine Humphrey, says memes express a culture's belief, they tell its stories, they pass along these narratives from person to person. The simple act itself of sharing a meme and being able to decode it positions people as insiders within a culture.
So she goes on to say that those kinds of practices of sharing and creating jokes that are readable within a community are actually very, very powerful. Researchers at the New York Times did some research to find out why memes are so loved.
They found five primary motivations: to bring enlightening and entertaining content into the lives of people we care about, to define ourselves, to grow and nurture our relationships, for self-fulfillment, and to spread the word for causes we believe in. Some or all of these motivations might be what's driving us to keep sharing various low-res images with ridiculous captions. Sharing a screenshot of a cartoon character might seem nonsensical, and sometimes it is, but you're actually expressing yourself, and other people who see it feel connected to a shared experience. More than just being good for a giggle, spending time on social media and looking at memes might help to make you a better person. In a recent psychological study, researchers found that spending more time on social networks and engaging in instant message chats predicted more ability to have virtual empathy. Going beyond our brightly lit screens, being better at dispensing virtual empathy was the best indicated predictor in the study at being able to express real-world empathy.
And apart from its relatable content, careful moderation of the group, which has set its tone, is a key factor of the group's success. Members wanting to submit content to Subtle Asian Traits must first have their post approved by an administrator.
The idea here, of course, is that it's supposed to be a safe space. And I think I found this story really interesting because, A, I hadn't heard of the Facebook page, Subtle Asian Traits, but also because it's interesting to me that memes are such an immediate, powerful way of communicating. I think partly because social media is so visual. It relies on short attention spans. It relies on something grabbing you right away. And memes, even though, I mean, I feel like I'm over-explaining a joke here that concerns me, but memes are a shorthand, right? And I find that just such a fascinating thing.
I personally can't explain why I enjoy them. To me, they're just funny. To me, also situation dependent, you just get them. The only difference is that I think there are like how we respond to memes and how we read them has a generation gap there. You know, here in the office, if I say something like, oh, mood, no one can really get that, or, you know, oh, worm, no one really gets that also. But I have to say things like, oh, I can really relate to that. But if you can sum it up in one word, like mood, that I find that easier.
Let us know what you think, whether memes are a language that you speak. Are they a language that you enjoy? Do you relate to this notion that being able to understand a meme kind of positions you as an insider on the internet? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Your favorite memes are also very, very welcome. And we've also been asking you about seatbelts, and we've gotten a number of messages. Benjamin saying, Generally, Malaysians are pro-risk and very cowboy. Got helmet? Don't wear. Got seatbelt? Don't wear. Got motor lane, but rather tackle traffic with cars and lorries. Just recently, I read about an accident between a Myvi and a Wajah. The Wajah had 8 people in it, a car made with only 5 seatbelts for 4 passengers and 1 driver. And that's a very good point.
Though, I don't know. Sometimes it's that you also don't have a choice to stuff that many people in the car. I'm not condoning such behaviour. It's just there might be another context to it that we're not privy to. Coming up, our next message is from Anwar. He says, when it's my car, I always mention it to my friends in the car that every unbuckled seatbelt would be fined 300 ringgit. I would leave them at the roadblock and drive away if anyone got caught not wearing it.
So yes, that's one way of approaching it, a little bit harsher and more punitive, but I approve. Margaret says, until recently, I was driving 1,000 kilometers per week, often in carpools with other people's kids alongside mine. I am vigilant about everyone buckling up and will give a bad review to any ride-hailing driver whose seatbelts are not all working. And on that note about ride hailing, eMacro says, whenever I'm in a Grab car, I'll always buckle up in the back seat, but sometimes their back seat belts are faulty, so I can't. Don't mention taxis, almost all of them you can't buckle up as their seat belts are non-functional. And that's true, I have experienced that, especially in a lot of older cars, I find.
Same here, especially in taxis, not so much with Grab because those tend to be newer. Their cars tend to be newer. The next message comes from Suresh. Rear seat belts became compulsory 3 or 4 years ago, hence due to over... many have complained for it to be set aside.
I think the issue here was that for some people, going back to that issue with the Wajah, for some larger families or for some larger groups of people, I think they just found that there were insufficient seatbelts, which is unfortunately, like you were trying to say earlier, I think it's something to do with being a reality of life on the ground, a reality of what you can afford. But then safety is so important.
I know, but you know, people still have to get to work, people still have to get to school, and or people still have to go and get food. And I think sometimes even petrol or whatever can be expensive, right? You can't afford to make 2 trips just to carry another extra person. Might as well just stuff them in.
That's My Full Name on Twitter says, we always read about road accident victims being flung out of their vehicles. That usually happens because they were not using the seat belt or child seat. We haven't actually been addressing that, the child seat problem, but that is also really... And if you're going to talk about cost, I think child seats come into that as well. But they're so important. They... If you think of your children as precious cargo, you know, it's so important to have that. Nurhan says, continuous education and awareness on buckling the seatbelt via social and mainstream media. Spread the information. Communication behavior impact methods are effective. Lisa, when I'm driving, I ensure everyone is strapped in before I put the car into gear. So in other words, I think most of the people who are messaging us, most of our listeners seem to buy into the notion that not just you, but everyone in your car needs to be safe. I wonder, though, if everyone else is practicing that. Do WhatsApp us and let us know. 018-789-8899-BFM89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.